So we've got weekend recaps and coach hirings and more silly rumors. So let's just jump right in. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, AJ Hoffman, the role model, Zhong Li, the master. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776 is your number. 713-780-ESPN. And you can actually call us today because we're back in studio.
Yes.
You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. Put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jungle Fever, at Degenerates 975. And you can text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Monday. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Let's have some fun today. What's going on, Mr. Hoffman?
Sports and stuff like that. How was your weekend, Falcon?
Pretty quiet, other than Derby Day, which I'm still kind of...
Derby Day kicked you in the nuts.
It did, and it was it was kind of frustrating because I was right about the horse, and I was probably a lot more confident than I let on. The only thing that scared me was the trip that he was going to get. That's exactly what happened. But I'm pretty sure I had the second best horse in the race and got nothing for it.
That sucks.
And the people who followed my bets got nothing for it. So, actually, Saturday night, I was, to be honest, pretty damn depressed because that's the first time I felt that kind of pressure over my picks because there were so many people that wanted that, you know, wanted the Derby trifecta. And, you know, it really started getting to me to a point where I was like, man, if I'm wrong, all these people are going to lose money and I'm going to feel like garbage. And then that's what happened. But you know what? I feel like I was right. And... you know, whenever you bet a closer in a 20-horse field, you're taking that chance. And I knew that. That was the gamble, was would he get a clean trip, and he didn't. So, but, you know, the winner looked impressive, and we'll bounce back in a couple weeks and try to make it back. But
there you go.
For those of you who think we only talk about when we win, I lost my butt this weekend.
Well, let me talk about when I win, because I never have this happen to me. But I won some money playing poker.
You did?
I won money playing blackjack, which those two things together never happen.
Yeah. In fact, I can't remember the last time I remember you saying you won money at blackjack.
It's very rare.
It's been a few trips.
Very rare. But I did very well at blackjack. And I even made enough to make up for my wife's losings in poker and blackjack.
That's always a good thing.
It's not football season, so the only sports to bet were baseball and basketball, the NBA.
And hockey. There was hockey.
And hockey. I didn't bet hockey. But you know my take on betting basketball or betting the NBA and betting Major League Baseball. I'm against.
Right. Unless you're in Vegas.
I was in Vegas. I made 3 baseball bets, 1 basketball bet, 4-0. I'm a freaking genius.
Nice.
Fortunately, I'm smart enough to know that it's fool's gold, and I'm not going to go back to betting it. I'm just going to take my winnings and walk away and go 3-0 in baseball for the year and 1-0 in for basketball.
Yeah, just say you're perfect.
I'm done.
You're
perfect. My percentages are through the roof. I should write a book. And I even made some money playing roulette. My wife wanted to see how the roulette wheel worked.
It kind of goes in circles and you
lose.
Yeah,
but how people bet on it, oh, okay. I mean. And I made some money on roulette. So overall, I didn't lose any money to Vegas. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Good for you. Actually, I didn't really lose any money to Vegas. I lost all mine at the track.
Well, that's good.
Because I was heavily invested in this one and didn't work out, but that's okay. I'm going to bounce back. Other than that, though, pretty quiet weekend. Just sort of hung around yesterday and watched some TV, watched some Game of Thrones, got caught up on all the stuff I missed.
Are you disappointed in the Game of Thrones episode?
Disappointed, not really, because I was kind of expecting one of these bridge episodes.
It was that.
And that's basically what it was, and we'll talk about that at 5:30. Without getting into any details, they have about 3 of these a year, 4 sometimes.
Okay.
And I kind of knew one was coming. I'm glad it didn't happen the first 2 weeks. I'm glad they just kind of jumped right in. But
let's talk about Banshee then.
Okay, let's do. If you haven't watched Banshee, you should turn it
on. Oh, man. If you haven't watched Banshee yet, I don't know what's wrong with you. It's the best show. It's the best show. I try to think of what else I like even remotely that close. I love The Americans. I do love Game of Thrones. I love Better Call Saul. But I think nothing gets me going like Banshee. And it's so well done. There's no slow moments. It's all action.
You know what? I think this might have been this. It's been the slowest year of all of them, and it's you don't notice it because
I love this new bringing in the Brotherhood of the White Power dummies, the cracker group.
Yeah,
and I love that aspect. I love the serial killer. I can't get enough. I love it. And
we only have two more episodes.
The last scene, like you knew that she was at the guy's house or at the girl's house. I guess it's both of their house.
Yeah, yeah.
But you knew who the girl was, and I knew something was coming when she was on the phone in her car.
Yeah.
And it happened anyway, and it still startled me. Oh, so
you got to get the hell out of there. I don't know what you're by yourself. Get the hell out of there.
It's not safe to talk on the phone while you're driving, but it's safer than staying at a serial killer's driveway.
Yeah, especially when her radar was going off a little bit with that chick. She even said it.
Yep.
And that being the case, I would have gotten the hell out of there. But no, I would say the only other show that's even in the ballpark for me is Game of Thrones. And, you know, I mean, there's a lot of shows that I love, but those two, I have to stop whatever I'm doing to watch.
It's the best show.
And I mean, I watched Banshee Friday night when I got in and then watched it again Saturday morning. That's how much I enjoyed it. So it's amazing. Like I said, those are the only two where I cannot miss them for any reason.
I can't.
The only time I missed Game of Thrones was when my wife was in the hospital. And that wasn't even a very good excuse on my part.
It stressed me out the whole time that I was in Vegas because people were saying, oh, that last scene or the first scene. People were talking about the first and the last scene in Banshee. And I was like, hey, don't talk to me about this. I'm in Vegas. It's on my DVR. I can't talk to you about this right now.
Oh, yeah, so that had to be hard for you to wait
a
couple of days. Yeah.
But luckily no one spoiled it for me. Thank goodness. Thank goodness. But it was a great episode. I love that show. There's only two left. I'm very sad about this.
Yeah, and you know what I'm wondering? Even as fast as this show moves,
how are they going to close everything out?
Yeah, how are they going to wrap up everything in two episodes?
They could so easily make another season.
Easily. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because, well, and introducing the devil worshippers and everything else, it's just a whole other thing.
And like, you know, we talked to Matthew Rauch about this and how he was saying that they didn't want to let it get to where it lasted too long. They didn't want it to be one of those shows that jumped the shark and then kept going.
Yeah, and even some really good ones have done that.
This one did.
No, this one hasn't.
They could easily go another season and it would be perfect. But, you know, I understand they want to leave a good flavor in our mouths. And there's at this point, there's no way, there's no ending I can even think of that I would go, what? This sucks. Like, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not possible.
You could see that ending coming in Sons of Anarchy, so that one you knew was going to be bad.
Right.
But Karina says, got to see white supremacist penis.
You did.
You did, yeah.
With blood. Bloody,
very, very freaky.
Bloody, naked white supremacist. Not my favorite thing.
No. But I can kind of see this whole thing coming down to a Reservoir Dogs type of shootout at the end with the white supremacists and whatever's left of Proctor's army, which I guess is our buddy Matty, and you know, Hood and his crew. It just, everybody gets blown up at the end. That'd be awesome.
There's so much coming down.
Yeah.
The next 2 weeks are going to be so good.
All right, 713-780-ESPN if you want to get it. There's plenty of sports, too. By the way,
there is. I have a horrible travel story again.
Well, yeah.
You know, my luck on airplanes was, it's no different. It was not good this time. I rode home with, first of all, this isn't a bad thing. Half of my flight was an Army Reserve unit. And they were flying, it was a Vegas Army Reserve unit. They were flying down here and then going to Fort Polk, Louisiana, which I felt so bad for them. I was talking to a couple of them before. I was like, it's the worst place in the world. It's the worst place you'll go to in the Army, at least in the United States. There's worse places. In the United States, it is the worst place you'll go and have to do like a – I mean, you're usually doing like a 3 or 4 week rotation there. This was their annual training, which I think is 3 or 4 weeks. I don't know exactly how the reserves work, but we had to go there for – it was, I want to say, 3 weeks. And we had to do, in my 4 years, I did it twice. And both times, the dead of summer. And it was so awful. And the mosquitoes are, they're the size of like dragonflies.
Yeah.
And you're, the humidity is like 100 million percent. And you're like laying around in swamps and stuff for hours on end. And then when you get out of these swamps, you have to like, you have to have your buddy pick the leeches off of you. And then you have to pick the leeches off of him. It's the worst. The worst. But I didn't have to go with him, so that's their problem.
You were just ruining it for him.
That's their problem now, not mine. I've spent my time picking leeches off my buddy. But the flight's completely full was the point of this. And I was in the last boarding group because I never remember to check in. And I am next to the
Well, it doesn't really matter on United.
It doesn't. There's a I mean, but
they've got a kind of
the problem
now.
Well, the problem was in this particular instance, I was the last one to sit in my row. And the lady was so big, we could not get the armrest down.
This is like the third time this has happened to you.
Yes. Usually they can make some maneuvers, but this flight was too full. They were offering people vouchers to stay. Had I known what my seat was going to be like once I got on the plane, I would have taken the voucher and just gone on a later flight. But this lady's legs were just, I mean, it was like two normal human waists next to each other. I mean, it was just so beefy. But the problem was, I would have bitched, but she was so nice. I felt bad. She like tried really hard to put the armrest down, and it wouldn't go. And she's like, "I'm so sorry, sweetie." And I was like, "It's all right. We'll make do." And so, of course, I got my elbow banged by the cart about 14 times. And every time the lady would do it, and it would make contact with my arm, and then she would go, "Excuse the cart, please." Oh, I was so salty about that lady, too. It was a nightmare.
How about you say that before you hit my arm?
Yeah.
That would be nice.
There was the girl in front of me, though, was not a recliner, which was good because I had a recliner on the way up there.
Yes, I remember that very well.
I have the worst travel. I really need to start paying the extra $80 or whatever just to upgrade.
Well, I actually had one of the best trips back that I've ever had. And believe it or not, it was on United, so as much as I've dogged them, I had a very good experience on the way back.
Good for you. Yeah, I also didn't drink any Red Bull this Vegas trip.
Because when I got on to check on, I was in a middle seat.
Uh-huh.
And I looked and there was one aisle seat left and I was able to take that. So it worked out great. Yeah. And then Pearson was also in a middle seat and then somebody canceled, so he got one.
Nice.
And everything was great.
Good for you.
But
good for you, not good for me.
Well, we'll talk more about this. We got a lot to get to, and we'll get to your phone calls, too. Let's get caught up, guys. I want to hear from you. 713-780-3776. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I don't know how I could explain that in a cooler and more doper fashion.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Back in studio. Happy to be here. Let's, you know what? Get a couple phone calls on here. How about Doc? What's going on, Doc?
Hey, sports guys.
Sports to you.
Hey, I read somewhere, I don't know if it's true or just a rumor, I heard that the Rockets were interested in talking to David Blatt about being the head coach. Now, I'm sure we all can agree that the Rockets need more than just a head coach. They really need players who play for the name of the team and not the name of themselves. So do you guys think David Blatt would help the team or kind of, you know, hinder them a little bit?
David Blatt's name has been thrown out there. Kenny Smith's name has been thrown out there.
Yeah, apparently they're talking to him, yeah.
David Blatt is tough for me. I don't know what kind of a coach he really is because the only time we've seen him coach, he had the best player in the world on his team. And I've said 100 times I could coach a team with LeBron James and they would win the Eastern Conference. It doesn't take anyone. I mean, it's like LeBron James, head coach, is like Peyton Manning's offensive coordinator. It really is a it's a job title that it does nothing. So I don't know if he's a good coach yet. I think maybe he's qualified now to take this job, and maybe it's a place where he could prove something. There's worse options out there for sure. But I can't tell you one way or the other if David Blatt's a good coach, because the only time he's coached, he coached LeBron James. And that's not – that you can't judge someone based on that.
If they hadn't fired him this year, they were still going to win the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
So
it would have he's just – that job is one of those jobs where you don't know what someone is until they take a second job. We're finally starting to see what kind of a coach Eric Spoelstra is, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because it took LeBron James getting off that team before we could really make a judgment on him. So, Kenny Smith, I don't know what Kenny Smith could do. He's interesting, too.
Jeff Hornacek's name has come up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sam Cassell. Yeah. Mike D'Antoni, I don't want any part of.
That's a retread. That is an absolute retread. You want someone who there's upside to it. David Blatt, maybe there's upside. Kenny Smith, maybe upside.
I would say of all the names, the only one that I don't just kind of go meh about is Frank Vogel. I'd like to see what Frank Vogel could do with this team. But anybody else, we know what Van Gundy can do. And maybe Blatt, maybe we don't know what he is. But we know what D'Antoni is, and all these other guys are just kind of guesswork. So, I don't know. We'll see how it plays out. I'll get excited, or I will criticize when they actually do it.
Yeah.
Because it's just, at this point, there's not a name that has come out where I go, oh, yeah, that's the guy.
Yeah.
That's it. That's what we want. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. And, the other thing about, just real quick to get back to Banshee for just a minute.
Oh.
Do you think they're going to be able, we kind of talked about it for a second. There's a lot to tie up. But just think about this. You got Proctor and the cartel.
Mm-hmm.
Bunker and his brother and the neo-Nazis.
Yep.
The killer.
Yep.
This deputy chick that you're going to have to chase down and kill now. And the fact that Kai has tried to kill, that Dave almost gets killed by Kai. That's going to come to a head. Now he's got to save the other chick or not. I mean, all that in less than 2 hours.
Yeah. There's a lot going on.
And something with Job, right? Job's got to get his money back somehow.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot going on in that show.
Let's, is that Jake?
That is Jake.
Okay, let's try Jake.
Hey, sports Jake.
Hey, sports guys.
Action.
Hey, so I was just wondering what you guys think. Is there any chance that Canelo ever beats Golovkin if they fight? Because Canelo wasn't even winning that fight against Khan. And I just think Golovkin's a much better fighter than Canelo. What do you guys think?
I think that, well, listen, I do think Golovkin's a better fighter than Canelo, first of all. I think that Amir Khan was absolutely winning that fight before he got knocked out. But that's kind of what
he got knocked the bleep out.
It's almost exactly what I predicted would happen.
You said sixth round. You said if I recall correctly, you said sixth round.
I think I said six or seven.
I'm pretty sure you said sixth.
Okay.
Actually, we had to do that part twice. You might have said sixth the Maybe first so. Time and then six or seven, but said six.
I did say that I feel like Khan could outbox him early, but eventually it's going to catch up to him. He's going to make a mistake, and he's going to get knocked out in the sixth or seventh round. It's exactly what happened. He did outbox Canelo. Well, he's just faster.
I thought he could do that. I just didn't, as it turned out, about the fourth round, I realized, you know what? Yeah, he's outboxing him, but he can't keep this up for 12 rounds and get to a decision. He's going to walk into a punch. And about 10 minutes later, he did.
Yeah.
So.
Well, listen, Khan is he's a decent fighter. He's got a terrible chin. And when you're fighting up two weight classes, it's going to get exposed.
Especially when you walk into that punch, though. That was just brutal.
Canelo, when he won, the adrenaline took him over. And this is all what I took from the translator because I didn't understand any of it. I don't speak Hispanic.
Como se dice Golovkin in Espanol?
I don't speak Hispanic like Donald Trump. I don't know where to get a good taco bowl.
At Trump Tower, right?
But but Canelo brought Golovkin into the ring and made it sound like he's not scared of anyone. And made it sound like he didn't say yes. He didn't say see that he wants that fight this year. But when Max asked him, he said, I'm not scared of anyone. I'm not backing down from anyone. Basically, he's saying he's got the big balls. And Golovkin just stood there smiling. I think he's happy. He's hopeful.
That's all he does.
I don't think Golovkin speaks Spanish either.
Yeah.
But I think based on the translator, he's very happy. Max, I would love this fight. He can make a money. I can make a money. I love USA. Like, that's Golovkin, his excitement. So I hope it happens. We'll find out in the next 2 weeks because he's got 15 days to sign that fight. You know, there's usually a big fight in September.
Yeah, and this would...
And there hasn't been a big September fight named yet because Kovalev Ward is supposedly going to be in November. That's the biggest fight.
November 18th is a tentative date for that.
That's the biggest fight they could make happen in September. Both guys are healthy. I pray that it happens.
Well, and I've seen two things about that. That speculation is Golovkin would be minus 600.
He'd be a huge favorite.
And the two places that have come up as possibilities, Jerry World and Los Angeles.
Okay.
As potential sites for the fight. So, you know what? I'd be okay with Los Angeles. I hadn't been out there in a while.
Yeah.
If we got a chance to go out there, that would if it's not going to be Vegas, man, I would love L.A. I've been to Dallas enough. It doesn't change. It's still Dallas. It's still Jerry World. But I think either place, certainly you'd have Canelo's got such a huge following, especially if you do it in Los Angeles. I think that would be interesting. But, yeah, I'm going to go with I think you'll have a hard time with Golovkin.
Yeah.
But, again, I don't know because he's – Golovkin's never really fought anybody because nobody wants to fight him. Yeah, yeah. Now Lamont says he has an interview with the Rockets.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Good luck with that. Yep. Rod says right after him. So I guess everybody's interviewing with the Rockets. But anyway, 713-780-ESPN's your number. We'll grab some more phone calls when we come back. Right now, talking to our friends out there who own businesses. Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want that perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites, and now you can. With our good friends at ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to over 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. And trust me, as somebody who's had to hire people, you want to be able to get the best possible resumes. You can find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface.
Yep, you don't have to juggle emails or calls to the office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 800,000 businesses. That's almost 1 million businesses. Right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/play. Give it a try. There's nothing to lose. Is that ZipRecruiter.com/play? One more time to try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/play. It's dangerous, the things we do. Under
the influence, I got no defense. ESPN 97.5. The RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. That's, Sal wants to translate what Alvarez was saying.
Okay.
Let's do that. What's up, Sal?
Hey, what's up, guys? Well, I'm Mexican. I obviously understood perfectly what Canelo said. Basically, when the fight finished, you know, they started asking him, Kellerman started asking him about Golovkin. Basically, what he said is he's not afraid of anybody and that he would put his gloves on again at that moment if it was possible. Now, it sounds kind of, you know, corny or not real. Situation is this. I got some friends over there in Mexico. They're journalists. and they're pretty close to the Canelo team. Situation is that Canelo and his team do want to fight Golovkin. Situation, on the other hand, his promoter, Oscar De La Hoya, you know, this is his moneymaker. Canelo is his moneymaker. He is the biggest name out there on the pay-per-view events at the moment.
He is.
Golovkin against Lemieux did 150,000 pay-per-views. Canelo against Cotto did around 800 or so. So situation is that Oscar De La Hoya doesn't want to expose his moneymaker to Golovkin. But the team Canelo, as much as I know, they do want to face Golovkin in September. Now, Oscar De La Hoya is trying to set up probably a, you know, they're trying to adapt him to the 160 division middleweight class, because situation is he's never really fought beyond 155 pounds. It's boxing has gotten so ridiculous nowadays that fighters fight at whatever, depending on the leverage they have, they fight in whatever division or whatever weight class they prefer. They feel more comfortable. Canelo did the same thing with Mayweather. Mayweather requested him to fight in 152. Pacquiao has requested some other fighters that fight 144. And situation is just that, you know, they don't want to risk Canelo to Golovkin. And Golovkin obviously is a better fighter at this moment. I agree. I'm a big Golovkin fan. Actually, Golovkin's style is based on the original style of Julio Cesar Chavez. Whoever knows about boxing has seen Julio Cesar Chavez. Golovkin's style is a good copy of the Julio Cesar Chavez style. These are words set from Abel Sanchez. So the situation is that probably they're gonna set up a match with Lemieux in September, trying to prepare, get Canelo a little bit more used to the 160-pound weight division, so they can fight in May.
Listen, that's as much as the reality is, Canelo is the middleweight champion. I mean, if you're going to carry around the middleweight belt, be willing to fight at middleweight. These boxers are such babies about weight classes.
Well, and I think it's more the promoters. I agree with him on that, and I'm sure that Oscar doesn't want him to go in there against Golovkin and get his ass kicked.
But comparing Golovkin-Lemieux numbers, you're talking about a Kazakhstani versus a Canadian. You compare that to a Mexican versus a Puerto Rican, of course the pay-per-view numbers are better. And also, there was never any doubt that Golovkin was going to beat up David Lemieux. That was never in question. I mean, that's why they – I mean, that's not – people aren't going to go out of their way to pay for that kind of a fight. If Golovkin fought Canelo Alvarez, the most casual boxing fans would come out of the woodwork for that fight. They would have no choice but to.
Well, and I'll take it a step farther. Let's say Golovkin beats Canelo. You know what? Canelo's next pay-per-view is still going to be pretty good.
Of course it will be.
Because the people love him. Did they go down after he lost to Mayweather?
No.
No, he's still
You just said he's the biggest draw in boxing right now, and he is.
Yeah.
But imagine, and again, you're talking about it. This was a situation where Canelo was minus 700 at the MGM when the fight went off. So there was little doubt who would win the fight. Imagine if Canelo was in a fight against a guy that was, I mean, at best, I mean, he would be an underdog to him. Like, where people thought they weren't sure that Canelo would win. I mean, that's the fight you want, is where the big star is questioned or doubted. That's why the UFC was desperate to make a rematch between McGregor and Diaz. They wanted that so badly, and that's why that's why the pay-per-view where he went up two weight classes did so well.
And here's the other thing. If you sign on to fight Golovkin, aren't you signing on to fight two fights? Aren't you just almost begging for a rematch after the first one?
And that's a guy like Canelo is. Yeah. Most the average Joe that gets in there with Golovkin is never going to want to fight him again.
No.
You know, David Lemieux never wants to fight Golovkin again because it's going to do him no good. The exact same thing will happen, and that there's no question about it. But if Canelo Alvarez loses to Golovkin, then there's an automatic rematch because that fight will also make money.
Yeah,
and if Canelo beats Golovkin, it's the biggest win of Canelo's career because it's the first time he beat a superstar fighter, but it will be the first time that he beat a superstar fighter in their prime. He beat Miguel Cotto past his prime.
Right.
He beat Shane Mosley well past his prime. And the only superstar fighter that was in his prime, and I don't know if he was even in his prime when he fought him, but it didn't matter, was Floyd Mayweather, and Floyd Mayweather beat him. So this is and what I do say for Canelo, and I do believe this, he is one of these guys who is big about the sport is for the fans. He is a fan-friendly fighter. He wants to do what his fans want to see. I do believe that, and I think he knows now this is the fight that the fans want to see. I hope that it happens. I hope they shouldn't feel the need to take warm-up fights. Canelo versus David Lemieux, I'm not paying for that. That better be on free HBO. I'm not paying for that fight. You can't. It's too lopsided.
713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. And you said this last week, that it was too stupid to pay attention to, and Dana White dismissed it. But now Floyd Mayweather's coming out and saying, oh, yeah, it might happen.
He's the one starting the rumors.
Well, then Connor's tweeting out or Instagramming whatever pictures of a fake poster where it's McGregor Mayweather. No. Is this just two guys who like being on social media just stirring up crap? Because
of course
nobody'd be talking about Connor McGregor other than that he's out on 200 otherwise. Is that what it is?
That's what it is. As a way to build buzz and make guys talk about you. That's what everybody wants now. They want to be trending on Twitter.
Well, talk about something I'd have no interest in. If it's just a boxing match, that would be a disaster. And if it was an MMA match, it'd be a disaster. Maybe you could do a hybrid, box for one round and then MMA for a round. Maybe that would be interesting.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. So it looks like the Sacramento Kings have a head coach.
I'm not opposed to this hire.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think for the Kings, this is actually pretty good.
Do you think the Rockets should have looked into him more?
No.
Yeah,
I think the Rockets should have higher expectations than the Kings.
I would agree. I don't know what's out there that is going to get me excited if I'm a Rockets fan. I know everybody wants Van Gundy back, but that's – how long has it been since he coached? And, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. But we'll see how all that plays out. And, 832 asks, Dana White is screwing up the UFC with all these women belts. Do you agree?
No. There's two women's divisions. It's not my favorite thing, but they make money off of it. People are interested in it. They're pushing Cyborg, her first UFC fight. They're pushing that almost more than the headliner at UFC 198. The freaking heavyweight championship of the world is happening at UFC 198, and they talk about it in the commercial. They talk about Anderson Silva fighting against Uriah Hall. They talk about Jacare versus Vitor Belfort, which is like the number two and number three middleweights in the world. And then it says, and the debut of Cyborg. And it just shows like a highlight reel of Cyborg beating the hell out of all these women. I mean, they understand that there's a big market for this lady fighting. It's not my favorite thing, but I don't think it's ruining things by any stretch. If you don't like it, don't watch it. It's what I always say about everything. If you don't like it, don't watch it. If you're mad that there's a woman's fight on the card, don't buy that one. They'll survive.
Or you know what? If you're at a bar where you're watching the fights, you can walk off and go outside and talk to your friends during that fight. You don't have to watch it.
Yeah.
And it's not. I don't think it's taking away from anything.
No.
Because you're probably getting a match that is not that great anyway. So. All right. We'll take some more phone calls when we come back. I got some other stuff to get to as well. It's 713-780-3776 is your number. We're going to take a very quick break.
Thank you, Fred. We're going to tell you before our break about Deep South Barrels, though. I've been talking to you for a while about Deep South Barrels and the amazing process of turning your crappy booze into great booze in less than a month. These 2-liter barrels they basically suck all the bad stuff out of your liquor. All the impurities get sucked up into the yolk, It's really amazing. They also can turn basically shelf vodka, like the bottom shelf, the worst well vodka. You add these flavor essences to it, and it is unbelievable what it will turn that booze into. Blitzers have been asking me which barrel combo to go with. I got with the guys at Deep South Barrels. We created an option called AJ's Double Barrel Package. It comes with 2 2-liter aging barrels, one for bourbon, one for whiskey. It's got a stand to display your barrels with complimentary shot glasses and your choice of bourbon and whiskey bootlegging essences. You could get that. You can get whatever you want, but that's just what we recommended. And you can get them personalized. You can get them customized to whatever you want done on them. And if you use my promo code Hoffman, you're going to get an additional 10% off the sticker price. Simple as that. DeepSouthBarrels.com. It's a local company down there in Pearland. Do business locally. Do business right with these guys. Deep South Barrels, DeepSouthBarrels.com. Age your spirits to perfection with the double barrel package from Deep South Barrels.
Listening to The Blitz. The Blitz.
On ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Rice Baseball's back in town this week with one of their most exciting matchups of the season. Get to Reckling Park Tuesday at 6:30 to see the Owls take on the Houston Cougars in the latest installment of the Silver Glove Series. This is Owl Town, so be there to cheer Rice on to victory. Unless you're a UH fan, in which case you can cheer for UH to go to victory. Same guy was asking about the women. Says there's a lot of fighters in the top 10 in all weight classes that are just sitting there while we watch crappy women fights. I know you follow this a lot closer than I do, but I sure don't see a lot of fights not being made right now. I mean, between the free fights, between...
Yeah, there's plenty of fights. There's plenty of fight cards for these people, to go, the women and the men to fight on. Anybody who wants to fight can fight. They got room for everybody.
So, couple of things going on at ESPN with the NFL that I wanted to share with the people, and I'm sure you've heard about. Looks like Ray Lewis and Chris Carter are out.
Yep. Listen, Ray Lewis, I don't know that he ever provided much for that channel.
No.
I mean, other than being a very famous football player. Great football player, by the way. One of the best ever. Chris Carter, while annoying sometimes, I feel like he was a little bit limited in what he could do, but he was okay. Sometimes they tried to take him, like he'd try to go off of the X's and O's, and it just wasn't for me. But I'll be honest, they're replacing him with Randy Moss. I would have thought Randy Moss would be the worst at this job. Randy Moss is really good at it.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for him to be on ESPN. I think he's great.
I was surprised when I first saw him. I'm like, okay, there's no way this is going to work. But he's gotten really good. So I think that's an upgrade. Apparently Trent Dilfer's out too, so Charles Woodson and Matt Hasselbeck are expected to join ESPN's coverage. And realistically, I mean, I guess I don't pay a lot of attention to these guys because I don't really watch their NFL shows. And maybe I'll watch with Randy Moss and Charles Woodson to see if I like it, but I just never really enjoyed anything that had Lewis in it or Carter in it. And I don't watch the show's game day because by then I'm ready for football to start. I don't really care about pregame shows.
Yeah.
So, and obviously you're always going to have turnover this time of year, but with all the new guys out there, I think Charles Woodson's going to be a really good addition, assuming that gets done. Yep. And it is official that Sean McDonough will be your new voice of Monday Night Football.
What do you think of that?
Do you think, let me see, what do I think of that? I don't know enough about the guy. I can honestly tell you I've heard him maybe with a couple calls on radio, but I can't really remember a lot of stuff I've heard him do play-by-play.
He doesn't stand out to you.
No. He's not going to be Tirico. I get that, but as long as he's not horrible, I guess that'll be okay.
Yeah.
But I can't tell you anything I've actually heard him do and said, wow, that guy's really good. I mean, have you?
Doesn't jump out to me, no.
John, you know these guys. Help us out.
What do you assume I know these guys? I don't know them.
Well, John doesn't know anything.
Because you always get these emails that say, would you like to have this person on? Yeah. I'm sure we've gotten...
I mean, I've heard him here and there, but he's not Tirico.
Okay.
I do think that's a big loss for them. Mike,
I think
Tirico,
he's a placeholder, I think.
Yeah, four.
For whoever the next guy is, who they're, I guess maybe they're waiting for the next guy to show up.
Well, I'm pretty happy with my job here. I'm not going to do it.
Oh, I could never do that.
Play-by-play is like, of all the things that if you said, hey, I'll pay you a bunch of money to come do this, that one's real low on the list.
Oh, it's so far down.
Yeah. Foster says, you say you think Derrick Henry will be a bust. Do you think it'll be worse than Trent Richardson? No, but, and really for where he was drafted, I'm not so sure I'll call him a bust anymore. I just don't think he's going to be very good.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he'll be an average back at best. And you've already kind of got one of those in DeMarco Murray. So, but no, he'll be better than Trent Richardson, theoretically. Yeah, I'm looking at, I don't know what the show is on ESPN, but says, will there be a letdown if Nyquist doesn't win the crown? Yeah, I hope I'm not doing what I always accuse people of doing, which is protect the past. Because I like this horse a lot. He's 8-for-8. He's a 2-year-old champ. He, he just won the Derby against a suspect field, no question. And I keep, my first thought was I liked him going in, but he's no American Pharoah. It's not really fair. I mean, this is a different year, right? And I shouldn't be comparing the two until he actually does it, which I think his problem will come in the Belmont. I think he's going to romp in the Preakness. I don't think there's anything that's going to be anywhere near him. But
the Preakness is the short one, right?
Well, short by, it's like a 16th of a mile shorter than the Derby. It's not like it's hugely short,
right?
But it's shorter. I don't think he'll have any problem with the Preakness. I think, as usual, the Belmont will be the tough one. But his running style works really well. And I have to say, this is not a great field. And last year, that was a terrific group of 3-year-olds. Some of those horses are going to be winning races for a long time. And this is a pretty soft group. So I think he's better than everybody else in there. And it would be very interesting to me. I wonder how people would react if he did win the Triple Crown. Would it be like, oh, then I guess it's not that big a deal, even though it took 37 years. And if he does, suddenly you're one race away from having 3 in a row. And all that talk of, oh, let's shorten the races, let's make the schedule easier. So it'll be interesting. I think he's a very, very good horse. It was a fast time. He chased a pretty quick pace and drew off pretty nicely. But I need to see how he wins the Preakness. It's not a matter of if.
Yeah.
Because last year, after American Pharoah won the Preakness, like that was a public workout. He was going to be fine for the Belmont. I need to see what it takes out of him. 713-780-ESPN. Somebody goes, what makes commentators good? For me, I don't notice you.
Yeah.
If I notice you, then you're probably screwing up or you're being annoying. And that's not something that I mean, especially with color guys, the guys who are doing color, if they're saying, Chris Collinsworth, I just have to literally turn down the television.
It's terrible.
He's annoying. He makes crap up. He tries to find something to back up his point, and then he just hammers it and hammers it and hammers it. And so, yeah, usually I would say over under about 8 minutes into the first quarter, I have to turn the sound down on Sunday Night Football. That's bad commentating.
That's not good.
Play-by-play guys who try to throw a bunch of stuff in there that distracts from the game, that's not good either. Like, who's the guy? Harlan, Kevin Harlan. On TV, I think he does a really good job. On radio, he's awful. He's like throwing all these stupid things in that make no sense.
Do you like Gus Johnson?
No, I hate Gus Johnson.
He's too distracting for me.
Yeah, Gus Johnson is a horrible distraction.
So this is,
I really think Tirico is the best in the business. That's why I don't think there's anybody they could replace him with that would I would go, okay, that's pretty good.
I agree.
Because they,
I agree,
they just lost a guy who is the best.
So I'm listening to this call from Texas, Oklahoma in 2014. He seems pretty bland and not bland, but he seems like just like a typical play-by-play guy.
41 to go, the 48 yards. They'll go for two.
Nothing flamboyant about his calls.
Nor should it be. It's not supposed to be about the play-by-play guy. You know who, I mean, I always say this, and people think just because I used to work with him, but Craig Way is so good at that job.
I agree. I told you that before I ever knew you guys worked together.
Yeah, I mean, he is just he's such a pro. He, even though he works essentially for the Longhorns, he calls a fair game. He gets excited when he should be excited. He doesn't pretend to be excited when he shouldn't be.
He gets a little disgusted when the Longhorns aren't doing well. You can always tell that.
Yeah, but it's not like the it's what's the guy, Dave South?
Yeah.
The Aggie guy who says we and gets real pissed off. Like,
you know where
that dude, he'll do this. Like, let's say Aggies are playing Alabama, and he'll just say it could be an 80-yard touchdown run, and he says, he hands off, he runs to the right between the tackle, and he's going to score a touchdown. And then he won't say anything. And he'll say, yep, that's it.
Yeah.
Alabama's going to put this game away.
Craig's really good on high school football, too.
Disgusting.
Which I've heard.
He is, which I find it impossible to be good at high school football because you don't know anything about those players. I mean, it's very difficult to know about all those guys because there's no way to watch them on TV and get a feel for it. And he still does a masterful job.
I would say anything Berman's on, anything Collinsworth is on, anything Gus Johnson is on, I'm not going to make it through more than 5 or 10 minutes before I turn it down. All right. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.